This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:20 in the morning on a very wet Monday, the 29th of March, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to frequent political commentator Dr. Bridget Welsh on the outcome of the UMNO General Assembly, which happened over the weekend. But in the meantime, let's talk about hotel service workers, because here's a story that you might have missed. Last week, the federal court ruled that hoteliers cannot use the service charges they collect from customers in order to pay its workers' minimum wages.
Right. So Judge Datuk Nalini Pathmanathan explained that service charges do not belong to the hotel. She says the hotel is simply tasked with collecting the money and that it needs to be kept separate from the hotel's funds. Essentially, the hotel acts as a trustee. This is part of a case between Crystal Crown Hotel and Resort and the National Union of Hotel, Bar and Restaurant Workers.
So as we know, the hospitality industry has been hard hit by COVID-19. But the judge also said hotels are unable to use that as an excuse to use service charges to satisfy minimum wages, even in light of the pandemic and rising costs. So what does this mean for hotel workers, and what other challenges are they facing amidst these turbulent times for the industry? So for some insights on this, we're speaking this morning to Rusli Afandi, the Secretary General of the National Union of Hotel, Bar and Restaurant Workers. Thanks for joining us this morning, Rusli. Now, to start with, can you give us a sense of how long this case has been going on and how the union got to this point?
From 2014. Then from Industry Court, they appealed to High Court, then to Court of Appeals. But Court of Appeals took some time to hand down the written judgment. That's why Federal Court was delayed to hear the case.
Yeah, Rusli, so the recent ruling by the Federal Court pertains to a case between Crystal Crown and the Union of Workers, which you represent. But what does this mean for hotels across the board?
Okay, currently the hotel under the union, some of them they lost in the court. They did not appeal. They settled with the union. Some immediately they implement the minimum wages. And besides Crystal Crown, they are a group of hotels that disagree with the union stand. There are around 25 to 30 hotels still in court appeal and some in high court. So they fight us in the court. Some High Court and some already reached to Court of Appeal. So mostly of the hotel wrote to the High Court and Court of Appeal to hold the hearing until the Crystal Crown hearing over. They want to see the judgment whether service charges are allowed to use to top up the minimum wages or cannot be used to top up to the minimum wages. Now, one by one, it's been called by the Court of Appeal and High Court to state the stand, whether they are going to comply with the minimum wage order according to the award of Crystal Crown or they choose to fight. You wouldn't know. So hopefully the hotel will abide with the Crystal Crown decision and settle, because that will be a moral boost for our member still waiting for the minimum wage.
And Rusli, I'm curious, so when employees do receive their service charges, how are the funds distributed among them? And I mean, is it whether they work in the front or back of the house? Are they distributed evenly or is it up to each establishment to decide?
In the union hotel, we have a collective agreement. They have a list of positions in the hotel and the entitlement for the position. Normally, the higher position will get more share compared to the lower position. And this also compare whether the frontliners or the backliners. If you are cook, you cook the good food. Without service charge, you don't get anything. Because if you based on tipping. But since the service charge is implemented, even a cook, a steward, even a roommate, they have the chance to receive the service charge.
So that applies to union hotels, right? But what about hotels not under the union?
Yes, the union hotel is 90-10. 90 goes to the workers, 10 to the management for administrative purpose. But for non-union, we wouldn't know whether they take the share 60-40, 50-50, or we wouldn't know. This is between the employee and the employer.
Can you then give us a sense of the union size? You know, how much of the industry workforce does it represent?
Okay, we currently have, after the COVID, I think we have mostly around 60 over hotel compared from when I started to become the general secretary at the current situation was 100-110. And some only closed, some retrenched. So currently around 65 hotel. And actually, the total workforce for unionists is only roughly around 7% of the total workload.
Right, but 7% of the workforce is quite small. So why is the union participation rate so low among hotel workers?
Because I think the obstacle is the recognition issue. When we sent for recognition, I think it took years to have the secret ballot. And sometimes when the secret ballot was held, some of the members are not in the hotel. And the problem is the result is not ballot in the box. It's based on the list. If you got 200 members registered, if 50 came for the secret ballot, 150 did not turn up, the management still win and no union can be recognized.
And Rusli, before we let you go, you know, tell us how your union members have been affected by the impact of COVID-19 on the overall tourism and hospitality industry then.
Currently, most hotels, they receive minimal service charge. Some hotels where you have quarantine, they are lucky. The service charge not so drastic. But most hotels without quarantine that affected a lot with our member. They are depending mostly on the basic salary. Because no business coming in, so no service charge. That's why they are depending more on the basic salary. And luckily, I think the government introduced the ICINA, mostly applying for the 10,000. Actually, we are really in a bad situation and very difficult for them to survive.
Thank you, Rusli. That was Rusli Afandi of the National Union of Hotel, Bar and Restaurant Workers. Painted quite a dismal picture, actually, if you ask me.
Sounds depressing.
Yeah, when only 7% of all hotel workers are represented in one form of a union, and reminds me really clearly there's an unequal balance of powers between employees and employers, especially when it comes to hotels. And in my mind, actually, whenever I pay service charge, I always thought it automatically goes to the workers, or at least 100% of it. And even for those union workers, now I find out it's 90-10. And if you're not a union hotel, it's up to you to kind of negotiate it with the hotel owner.
But this is the trick. He said a very startling statistics. When he first started in 2014, there were 110 hotels. It's now dropped to 60 over hotels only. And 60 over total versus the total hotel population is minute.
Very. And so, it took, 6-7 years for this case to get to finally come to some form of resolution?
Exactly. So I think this is a question about whether the union is going to be the right vehicle to drive this, because 60 is such a small number and 7% population, you really don't have the clout to push through. And I think that's why they're going through the legal track to make this case loud and clear. But whether it can have the influence across all the other non-union hotels, I have my reservations on that.
The other thing is also enforcement. You know, to me, when I pay my bill and I see that 10%, who really checks that, let's say for non-union hotels or even restaurants, right? Who checks that this sum, or at least some of this sum, goes to the workers?
Yeah.
No one, right? As far as I know, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is it is enforced, or it's down to the negotiation between workers and the restaurant, the owners. But you know, when you're talking about COVID-19 in this era, right, where basically everyone's looking for a job and they're so hard pressed because basically, you know, your footfall traffic in malls are down, at the restaurants, in hotels, then there clearly is an imbalance of power. And whether this needs to be addressed more seriously. But our colleagues on the Evening Edition also had a longer discussion on this, and it was entitled Ensuring That Service Workers Receive Their Fair Wages. So do listen to that podcast. You can find it on the BFM app on Spotify. And I think that will give you more nuance in terms of what could be done. But up next, we'll be speaking to Oi Lian Hin, the chairman of the Shipping Association of Malaysia, on how the Suez Canal blockage affects the global shipping industry. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.